Welcome back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke, and it's Wednesday, which means it's time for a weekly discussion of the latest in state politics with the Dakota Political Junkies. Joining the program today is Jonathan Ellis, reporter and columnist with the Sioux Falls Argus Leader. And Jonathan, welcome. Also with us on the line is Rapid City Journal reporter Seth Tupper. And Seth, thanks for joining the program as well.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we're just talking with Senator-elect Mike Rounds. Among the things we talked about was his assignment to three of the committees that he wanted to be on. Jonathan, is it surprising that he got these three assignments? I'm wondering how common it is for freshman senators to get the committees that they want.
You know, it's not. It is surprising for a freshman senator to get those, everything they want, especially when you're talking about a plumb committee like armed services. So that was a surprise, since I don't work in Washington and necessarily know the rules of the Senate, but I mean certainly other people who are a little more familiar with it, Bob Burns comes to mind on a story that we had earlier this week, the political science professor from South Dakota State University thought it was noteworthy that Mike Rounds actually got four committee assignments. Because these things are based on seniority, and armed services is typically one that a lot of people want to be on. So I thought that it was noteworthy for him that he did get that, and that one in particular.
Well, Seth Tupper, what do you think this means for Mike Rounds' beginnings as a senator here? Does this kind of get him in a good position?
I think it does, and looking at it from a West River perspective, his support of Ellsworth Air Force Base was a major part of his campaign out here, and was a big issue in advertising and back and forth between Mike Rounds and Rick Weiland in the final weeks of the campaign. So the fact that he's on both Armed Services and Veterans Affairs, I think, is a big deal. He brought Senator Inhofe out here from Oklahoma and appeared with him at Ellsworth Air Force Base. And there was talk at that time of Senator Inhofe mentioning that he would like to have Mike Rounds with him on veterans issues and that kind of thing. So in that way, maybe it wasn't so surprising that he landed on those committees, because it seemed to be a big part of his campaign. And maybe there was a desire by Republican leaders to maybe put him on those committees to sort of protect that issue for him. But they seem to be good assignments, and I heard him talking with you earlier that he requested three and then also was put on Veterans Affairs as kind of a bonus. So I think it's a good start, but obviously we'll see what he's able to do when he gets into office.
Well, Jonathan, beyond what it means for Mike Rounds to be on these committees, what does it mean for South Dakota to have him on these committees?
Well, the committees, and it was interesting. I listened to him as well, talking about how they say business is going to change with Mitch McConnell now being the majority leader and Republicans in control. That'll be interesting. I mean, the way he talked about it is they're going to be doing their work and getting their work done before they go home and keeping kind of regular work schedules. The committees are important because that's where a lot of legislation, and that's where all the legislation is sort of molded, and that's where it takes shape, and that's before it moves on to the full Senate. So committees are important when you're talking about legislation. And Seth mentioned Ellsworth. I mean, there's always a concern that Ellsworth might be closed at some point. I mean, currently, traditionally that's been handled by non-elected base realignment closure commissions. But there's always that concern. And being on armed services allows there's the potential for a senator to potentially direct some activities to Ellsworth, expand the scope of its mission, which would then keep it safe in the event that there's another BRAC round. So it is important. I mean, the senator-elect has talked about wanting to oversee the Army Corps of Engineer with regard to some flooding issues along the Missouri River. So those committee assignments are pretty important, as we've seen again with other members of the delegation throughout the years, whether it's with farm bills or appropriations, things like that.
The man Mike Rounds is replacing in the U.S. Senate, retiring Democrat Tim Johnson, made his farewell address on the Senate floor last week. It was a speech that was critical of the growing lack of bipartisanship in Congress as he sees it. And Senator Johnson said, "Mr. President, we had lost our way." Seth Tupper, what did you think of Johnson's address? And do you think it was a fitting conclusion to a three-decade political career?
Well, I thought it was a good speech, and it was fitting because, you know, Senator Johnson has been somebody who has been considered more moderate in his views, and probably that's, you know, what helped him get elected as a Democrat in a Republican state. So I thought it was a good speech, and I think a lot of people probably agreed with it. On the other hand, I do think, you know, it's easy when you're leaving office to say, hey, you know, we're not always this partisan, and we shouldn't be this partisan. And a lot of people say that when they leave office, and after a while it becomes such a common drumbeat, kind of a cliche. You have to wonder, okay, we've recognized the problem. What are they doing about it? I think everybody realizes that Washington has become hyper-partisan. And we heard Senator-elect Rounds earlier speaking about hopefully restoring some normal order to the work of Congress. We'll see if that actually happens. But, you know, I mean, I think moving forward, that's what people are interested in, is we know there's a problem with partisanship. What's going to be done about it? And I think we're past, you know, recognizing it.
Jonathan Ellis, for you, what did you think of Johnson's farewell address last week?
Yeah, I agree with Seth. I mean, a lot of outgoing politicians bemoan the lack of bipartisanship. And in fact, in the speech, Senator Johnson pointed out a couple of outgoing, I think Senator Daschle in his farewell speech, and I think he's pointed out Senator Voinovich from Ohio in his farewell speech, did the same thing. So that's something that we come to expect of retiring politicians, to bemoan the lack of partisanship or bipartisanship out there in the Senate. But that was just a tiny portion of the speech. I thought it was actually kind of touching, in which he thanked his sort of Senate colleagues, Republicans and Democrats, talked about being part of a big family when he was recovering from his brain hemorrhage. He thanked many of his law. I mean, one thing about Senator Johnson is he's a great guy to work for. All the people, you know, who've worked for him will tell you he's just a wonderful guy. So he thanked all of, you know, these staff members who've been around forever since day one. Dre Samuelson as chief of staff, Sharon Boyson as director here. And so, I mean, you know, to name a couple. So, you know, all these longtime staff members that he thanked. And so I thought that was really touching because, you know, they have been, as he called them, Team Johnson. They have been a team for, and many of them for almost three decades now.
Johnson's retirement from the Senate leaves South Dakota Democrats without anyone in statewide office now. And this past weekend, Democrats chose a new party chair, and Tornberg of Beersford and former state fire chief Joe Loa Piedmont was elected vice chair. Seth Tupper, any thoughts on what impact either of them could have on the state Democratic Party and helping to improve the party's fortunes here in the state?
Well, I guess my first thought would be they need to have an impact. You know, with the Democrats, as you pointed out, not having any of the statewide offices, I think they only have 20 of the 105 legislative seats. So, you know, if they're going to have a future, you know, they obviously need to do something. I think with Tornberg and Lowe, I don't know a whole lot about them. It seems like Ann Tornberg, you know, she describes herself as a moderate. She seems to be more of a moderating presence, even keel. Joe Lowe, when he ran for the Democratic nomination for governor, got a reputation as being very spirited. He was very pointed, and he criticized Governor Dugard's response to Winter Storm Atlas last year, and said there were a lot of inadequacies in that response. And I think that was kind of surprising to people. You don't oftentimes see in South Dakota politics people being so appointed in their criticism, but he came right out with kind of a fighting spirit. So I think you got a little bit of both worlds there in the leadership atop the party. But you know, they have a lot of work ahead of them. They need to rebuild the party from the ground up and get their county level organizations back up to speed and recruit more candidates. One of the reasons they lost so many races this year is they didn't field near enough candidates. A lot of races were without Democratic candidates. So So, you know, I mean, the proof will be in the pudding, and are they able to get after it and get better results in the next election?
Jonathan Ellis, do you think either of them will be able to make an impact on the Democrats here in South Dakota?
Well, you know, it all comes down to, I hate to say this, and this is another part of Senator Johnson's speech, bemoaning the fundraising that goes on, but you got to raise money. And without having money and without, you know, being able to, you know, help candidates run, that's what parties are supposed to do. They're supposed to be able to help candidates, give assistance, whether, you know, through organization and advertisements and all the other things that political parties do. If they can't do that and that requires money, then they're going to have a tough time. But, I mean, I think the first thing I would be focusing on is trying to rebuild some county parties, rebuild that sort of basic infrastructure that you need to help your candidates when they're running. But you know, it'll just be interesting. It'll be interesting to see. I some people can disagree with me saying, but I really think that it requires the financial resources to get that done, and that's what they'll need to find those resources.
Well, as we come to the end of 2014, I'd like to at least touch on what you think are some of the most significant political stories in South Dakota of the last year. Seth Tupper, what comes to your mind?
Well, the EB5, Richard Benda, Yoke Bolin saga, obviously, I think, dominated the headlines and was a very political story at times. I think that has to be the top, probably, political story of the year. Other than that, you know, the overwhelming success of the Republican Party against the terrible showing that Democrats had in the November election, for example, Dennis Dugard, as we found out the other day with some great reporting by the Smart Politics Group in Minnesota, he had the largest margin of victory in statehood history in any gubernatorial race. So I think that the GOP's rise and the Democrats' collapse was a big story. John Thune continuing his rise up the leadership ranks and now headed into a committee chairmanship for the first time, I think, is a big story. Tim Johnson, we touched on, retiring. I don't think that got as much attention maybe as it deserved, maybe just because with his age and some of his health issues, it wasn't much of a surprise that he chose to retire. But obviously that brings to close a incredibly long and successful political career. That was a big story. And also, I think that reminds me of his son. I think another big story in politics this year was the decision of Brendan Johnson and Stephanie Herseth-Sandlin not to run for anything, and the impact of their decisions to stay out of politics this year, how that impacted the Democratic Party. And, you know, that'll be a story next year as well, and into 2016 if they're going to come and jump into the fray and run for anything on the Democratic ticket.
And for you, Jonathan, the top political stories of 2014.
I think for me the biggest political story is the fact that that we even had a competitive, that, you know, we had sort of a Senate race to begin with. There was near the end at the finish line in October, we had this flurry of campaign money coming in, and it really, that was because the Rounds campaign was unable to really just put the thing away back, earlier, and Seth again talked about EB5. That was a big issue, and they weren't able to put that away. So the fact that we even had a sort of interesting Senate race, I think, is a big story. Another note, this was sort of like a year of the incumbent. All the incumbents won. Dennis Dugard gets another term, Kristi Noem. So, that was expected, and no surprise there, and Republican dominance. I think that was, most observers expected that as well. On the lighter side, I will note that there was a lot of kind of Looney Tunes stuff going on. There's just some crazy, the primary season was pretty crazy. There was, some colorful candidates who are still perhaps working through the judicial system on how they got on the ballot in the first place. I'm speaking of Annette Bosworth and Clayton Walker. There were some interesting sideshows to the campaign season.
A little bit more interesting, perhaps, Jonathan, than people had expected.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, who would have expected? The primary was fascinating, and Mike Rounds was able to get through that relatively unscathed, even though he had a number of vociferous opponents against him there. I would say that one of the biggest stories for me is that Mike Rounds, in the general election, after in early October, looking like he might be in trouble, I was actually able to crest that 50% vote on election night.
Well, that'll have to do it for the Dakota Political Junkies this week and this year as well. Jonathan, thanks for your time, and Merry Christmas to you.
Yeah, thanks. We'll see you next month.
All right, Seth, thanks for your time as well, and happy holidays to you as well.
Same to you. Thanks.